two, one. Just going to be me.
So how is it for you, dude? You're sober. Is it tolerable?
I entertain piss people for a living, so yeah. This is no different than normal life.
I think you're boring tonight.
Fuck you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to start this episode from Chris's question there.
That was good.
And then from
the
intolerableness of us drunk people. This is episode 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Of the Distraction Pieces Drunk Cast with Jim Smallman, Jimmy Havoc, Susie Gage, / Dr. Saucy George, Jason Reed, Chris Glasson, Stu Whiffin, and John.
John C. Harris.
No, he can only be John. He's just John.
Oh, sorry. You're up for some
the people who are doing the little tech bits only ever get a first name. They do, though, don't they? On all podcasts, people who are doing the tech bits just get a first name. So I reckon he's going to have
John,
a T-shirt
quickly.
Out.
Do you know what reason I think that is?
I mean, I'm on the intro and we're already all talking over each other. John, Jesus. John. It's just meant to be me, this bit. Let's drop the theme music.
Sorry, shut up.
No, actually, before we do, this week we're sponsored by...
Jim Smallman.
Progress. Let's talk about Progress.
Brilliant. Free.
Progress Wrestling.
ProgressWrestling.com.
We're also sponsored by JimmyHavoc.BigCartel.com.
Yep. You've got T-shirts. You've got your Die Havoc Die T-shirts that are legendary.
And other things.
Did you do a calendar this year?
I did, yeah.
I fucking
love
you.
It's a sexy calendar.
I sold almost 200 of them this year.
Fucking legendary. He's done a calendar.
Mate, the taxman might be listening.
I'm paying tax, mate.
You sold 20 this year.
I've sold about fucking 500. But through my Big Cartel store.
Oh, okay, good. No one's recording this.
And by this is Progress. Progress Wrestling.
ProgressWrestling.com and demand-progress.com.
Demand it.
Drop the theme tune.
Wait, have I got to give you money?
No.
Oh.
Theme tune, now. Right, here we are. We're going. We are started. We are underway. Jim's
that.
Doing the almost redundant abruptizer, considering
well, we hope.
It's for science.
I think it's more of a test to make sure he is still sober.
We're trying to see if sorted a caramel jar of a monster gives you just picks up on the breathalyzer test.
Although I'm drinking a Scroobius snack, a Havoc is fucking incredible.
It's shit. Can we have some more of those, Jimmy?
Yeah.
He's making the Havoc.
John,
it's very exciting that a Scroobius was officially the drink of the year 2017 and 16.
Well, the Havoc,
weirdly, but I reckon the Havoc 2018.
Yeah.
So to clarify, assorted caramel, Java Monster
and Bailey's.
Yeah, I think that would make a 2018 and an official one, not like your made up one. Like when your first flyer you ever made about your own fucking record had a bunch of fucking write ups and Big Apple Flow, which wasn't a hip hop magazine.
BigAppleFlow.com.
You just fucking made it up.
I made it up. I had quotes on it, and then I made up a quote from Westwood saying, I don't get this guy at all. But I had BigAppleFlow.com who said he's like, I think I said a white Will Smith. I think what I went for on BigAppleFlow.com.
I always like it when you go to the Edinburgh Fringe and people have clearly taken one word out of a review.
Yeah.
And they've got amazing. And the actual quote is, it's amazing anyone would pay money to see this.
My favourite is from
Thanks,
like, you know, the
Thank
family
you. Cheers.
The sort of Viz
yes.
newspaper
yes.
where there's a book review that just says
Cheers,
really very good at all, to be honest. it's my favourite sentence that's ever been written. It's just amazing.
Susie, my actual genuine Christmas present I was going to get Stu this year was Viz Annual.
Ooh.
And the back of the Viz Annual this year, I love when they tear down Clarkson, and it was a Camaro? Not a Camaro, the car. What's it when you have a plate that does something to...
Commemorative.
Camaro? In the nigging. Say that again.
Commemorative. We do any tests on alcohol. I think we've just done them. Jim isn't drinking.
Yeah.
Chris is. Camarial? Camarial test.
The
Camarial plate.
Comma. communist plate.
I need to get you all to do the writing as many words.
Okay.
As you can
The commercial plate, the commercial plate was Jeremy Clarkson banging out that dude when he didn't get him the right food.
Steak.
Basically.
Oh, did you? Are you all like of an age? Were you all Viz readers?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I know Viz.
So what do you mean? Were you all Viz readers?
Well, are you still a Viz reader?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I follow him on
Drunken
Twitter.
Bakers is like, one of the most beautiful, heartbreaking comic strips ever.
The Profanosaurus
is also very funny. Mm.
And can any of you recall anything from the Profanosaurus?
it's much better. She finished rubbish.
My favourite Profanosaurus quote is when you have masturbated so much that you lose the ability to walk, which is called porn on the 4th of July. That's the one that sticks in my head the best.
I mean, I have not read that since I was at college, right? But I remember a ridiculously large blue veined erection was referred to as a pensioner's leg.
App, by the way, there's a Profanosaurus app.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? When you drive past and see a horse's erection in a field, and you can refer to it as a horse's handbrake. But my favourite ever one is lowering yourself nuts first into a boiling hot bath. It's called a monkey bath, because at that point, when your balls hit the water...
That's my favourite joke ever, is two monkeys in a bath.
That is. Because it's a hilarious visual.
Two monkeys in a bath. One goes... And the other goes, we'll put some cold in there. It's clean as well, that's why. I could tell my mum that one.
I was round my goddaughter's the other day, and her and her sister obsessed with people telling jokes at the table. My mum came round and told her favourite joke, which is, what do you call a snowman with a suntan? A puddle. And then Juno, who's I don't know how old she is, I don't know kids' ages, told the joke of...
If you ask, helps.
Yeah, probably. I'm not interested enough. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, that's rude, isn't it?
That's my favourite.
That's horrible. Though. That's no need for that.
Knock, knock.
That's why you don't get people...
Yeah, you're going to get shot. We're shooting with a Nerf gun.
Safety's on.
Oh, no!
That was defence!
Just to narrate... Jimmy pulled a Nerf gun on Chris.
The safety was on,
so Chris had time to shoot him in the eye.
Jimmy Havoc's career ended by Nerf darts.
It was a good shot.
They need to be banned.
Do you know what? If there was a razor blade in that, it would have been a lot worse.
I keep sending this link. There's a thing in America. There's a gadget in America, and John will be able to back me up on this. The website you want is bugassault.com, which is BUGASALT. Now, I'm writing something at the minute, which it means I have to listen to dangerous right-wing dickhead podcasts.
Alex Jones.
So I've been listening to Alex Jones a lot.
He's my favourite. And he's the best.
He's hilarious because, there's a big conspiracy theory that he's actually Bill Hicks and it's all which is my favourite. It's not true, but it's brilliant, right? And one of the adverts, they have lots of... A lot of the adverts on it are for his supplements that are all very dangerous.
The fucking adverts on it are for his supplements.
No, some of them aren't. Some of them are for fullycookedbacon.com, which is just 10-year shelf life bacon that you can leave in your doomsday shelter, right? But one of the adverts on it is for a thing called bug assault, right? And the advert starts with like a fly buzzing around and goes, "Oh, you're sick of this. There's a new solution instead of a fly swatter, and it's a miniaturized shotgun that shoots salt." $37, and I presume John's now got it up.
It's incredible. The dude, it looks incredible.
You can get a pink version for ladies for Christmas.
Perfect.
Right?
Shooting donuts and hot dogs at the moment with flyers on.
Right, but, Jim, we have talked about getting one.
Be safe and have fun is their slogan. Be safe and have fun.
But it's, and kill bugs.
But it's brilliant. It's genuinely amazing.
I asked Jim to get one for me for a hardcore match.
What's the title of the video, John?
Bug assault how-to's and safety video.
Yeah,
brilliant. Brilliant.
Genuine thing that you can buy. And
shit. Are you sure this isn't Tim and Eric? Because it looks quite a lot like Tim and Eric.
Really, well, these days with Alex Jones, I don't know what is satire these days and what is not.
Yeah. Because
that is satire to me, but it's not.
The first time I heard that, I remember I was stuck in a traffic jam. I thought, I'll just have a look and see if there's a real thing, and looked at the advert and just. I think the first person I sent the link to was you. Because I was like, if anyone can get a use out of this.
It's that bit in RoboCop where they're talking about the electrocuting people in the car. Like, that's satire, but no, it's not. Because that exists these days. Yeah. You can just do that.
But South Africa. Thing in South Africa is flamethrowers under doors.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I'm hugely generalising. That has happened and does happen. We got a mate who works now in, I think it's Ghana. And when he landed, the first time he landed there, he had cars pick him up in security, and people got in the cars with him, not to kidnap him, but with AK-47s. Mm. And that was just because he was working, but there are cars there with flamethrowers.
I mean, luckily, with an AK-47, trust me, with an AK-47, you can't shoot someone who's sitting next to you, so he's pretty safe.
Yeah. How did we get to flamethrowers under doors from my
RoboCop satire
telling a joke?
It's a very tenuous link between everything.
I'm going to finish this joke. Knock, knock.
Sorry.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Snake.
Snake who?
You eat knives. That was literally the joke. I was in tears for ages. But I do eat knives. So it's accurate.
Whenever I
Kids Tell Jokes is the best Twitter account.
Yeah. That is good. Pretty good.
I've never heard of that.
It's good.
That's good.
I've recently started following on Instagram Scottish Patter, I think it's called. And it's all just Scottish jokes. Right. And, mate, the tears of laughter. I mean, it's all written in Scottish, which is hilarious. But
like Noam Dar's Twitter account.
Yeah, exactly like Noam Dar's Twitter account. But
Translation finished. Yeah. Not finished, mate.
There was one that just killed me where he just goes... it's just stuff I'm tweeting saying, how about them people that when you get back from holiday are like, oh, where's your suntan? It's like, oh, where's your patter, you lizard? Sitting on the toilet reading and I was in tears of laughter. I was like, where's your patter, you fucking lizard?
Fucking lizard.
That's fucking good,
man. I sometimes do stand-up gigs for children, and what I used to do before...
It just turns up at people's houses.
And I used to do a thing where I'd go out and I'd say to the kids, if I was hosting it, I'd be like, anyone got any suggestions for more tattoos for me? And it would lead to chaos. One of my favourite ones I ever got was some lad going, you should get a tattoo of a Victorian man and he's wearing a T-shirt that says, hello, I'm a Victorian man. No, that's a special level of fucking genius.
You gotta tattoo that.
I'm later with a razor blade and a biro.
Yes.
And everyone will be drunk enough, they'll hold you down for
me. Hold you down. You know me, I'll do it for it.
Jim, do you know James Acaster?
Yes, I do, yes.
Him and Buddy Peace, who you guys have met, who's a great
producer.
Fantastic both, well. It's not been said about James, but it relates completely. The first time my goddaughter met a Buddy Peace, I think it was goddaughter, when they said... He looks like a man that's been drawn by a child. And James Acaster has that look. He looks like someone's drawn a man. Draw a man. And they draw James Acaster. It's beautiful. Another thing on my notes is something that had me spinning out at the last club night we did at Lizards.
Is this about me doing something again?
It's not about you.
Pulling me up about
it. It's not about you. There's a few things on that night that I could pull you up on, but I'm not going to. So it's fine. But... I spent a good bit of time that night and the next day thinking, what came first?
The chicken or the egg?
The reggae song, well, yeah. Murder, She Wrote, or the crime drama?
Crime drama.
Because either being influenced by the other is mind-blowing. That someone was watching Murder, She Wrote, yes, John!
We can fact check, yes!
Some reggae artist was watching Murder, She Wrote and was like, Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote.
Someone heard that song and went,
I like the idea that he's got an entire concept album just about crime dramas.
Yeah.
His follow-up hit, Dempsey. Right,
before he gives the answer...
Poor Jack.
Before we get the answer, we need to take a vote.
Murder.
which one came first? Murder, She Wrote, the album, or the show?
TV show.
I'm going the TV show first. Because the album... could not have influenced the TV show.
I just can't see how the song could have come from... I don't know. I think that I can see a writer hearing the song and thinking that's a good name for a TV show.
10 years between it. Jessica Fletcher was solving crime in the fucking early 80s.
All right.
Yeah, but we've all known him that. No. But this is because he's got a fucked up sense of time, because he thought Pepsi Max was done literally... His first words to me the other day was, that was about 4 years ago, mate.
I said 5 or 6 years.
Five or six years ago, mate.
When did you invent the Scroobius?
Six or seven years ago.
It's only a couple of years back. John, have we got any information on this?
Yeah, so the TV show is 1984 and the song is 1994, so 10 years
old. Oh, wow, 10 years different, exactly as Stu stated. Yeah.
Also, I'm shocked.
I'm old.
I thought the TV series was 1984.
That's the year I was born.
John, just quickly, mate. Yeah. Just quickly, my nephew wants a few bits of Christmas. Okay. His list is, it's a bit weird, but can you look up these things to buy quickly? Fertilizer, cement powder, hydrochloric acid, red and blue wire, and a small digital clock. That's on your Google history, right? My niece loves Spanish singers. She wants to have a membership for international singers in Spain. So can you look up that and figure out how to join? But you can use their acronym if you want. Just have a little look at that.
genuine fact, my niece's middle name is Isis. Her dad's really into post-hardcore. There's a post-hardcore band called ISIS.
Oh, wow.
I
saw them supporting Caius. What are you
good gig.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. Haunting. I feel it's a good point.
Okay, let's move on.
On one of the last podcasts, we discussed some of Chris's dreams and then compared them to how boring my dreams was. I had one where literally it had been this. I was in a contest against Kylie Minogue, and it was all different things. And then the last contest was a drinking contest, and I got the pint. Everyone was cheering. Then I went to drink, and they went, "Are we really going to just drink for your applause?"
Electric.
I literally in my dream. But it gets better. The last time we went to Progress, in fact, Chris had an amazing dream. He spent ages telling it was this amazing thing. And my dream that night had genuinely been I'd worked a shift in a bar. And the dream generally started at the beginning of my shift, ended at the end of my shift. The only highlight was someone asked for a cocktail off menu. And I had to ask one of the other bartenders how to make it because I didn't know how to make it. That's how boring my dreams are. It's not very exciting. Shall we get in? Oh, no, Jim. Mm. I want to know how we come up with our own wrestlers' names.
Yes. So this was a formula I decided on. I think it was when I was doing a kids' gig a little while ago. So to determine your wrestler name, your first name, okay, your first name is either your middle name. If you haven't got a middle name, anyone here not got a middle name? And we're all alright. So, it's Ivan.
My name's Jimmy Havoc. That's my wrestler name.
Fucking is your middle name.
Oh, sorry, fucking, right, yeah. Sorry, I stand corrected. Carry on.
So, you go by your middle name. If you don't have a middle name, use the name that your parents were going to give you. Because your parents always tell you the name they nearly gave you.
Isis.
Good name.
So, in my case, my middle name's Daniel. So, my first name will be Daniel. Then take... one of your grandparents' maiden names. You can't use your mum's maiden name because that would obviously be giving away some of your bank details on this podcast. So use...
Who the fuck knows their grandparents' maiden names?
Come on, we've all traced a family tree. I don't drink, mate. I have to fill my evenings.
Oh, sorry.
I've used one of my grandparents' maiden names, which is Garner. So I'm Daniel Garner. Not very interesting, right? But then
that opens up a whole other sort of questions.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you need... No, it's not spelled that way. Sorry, guys. Then Spelt like Simon Garner, former Blackburn striker. Because you know I like to bring up Blackburn players.
Noted.
Right. And then you need a trade, because this is 1980s WWF. Mm-hmm. So everyone needs a trade. So you then take one of your parents' trades, and that becomes your gimmick. So I am Dan... I am Daniel the Accountant Garner, which is essentially IRS.
Yeah.
So whatever your gimmick would be, but so again, middle name.
I am selling no tickets to see Peace of the Librarian Latham.
Can I take a grandparents' occupation instead?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Because then I'm Helen the Billiard Cue Maker Carter.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Roy the Mechanic White.
Yeah, but you see,
no, but let's get back to the wrestling, mate.
Your
fantasy role play.
Was he
was after he was a mechanic, wasn't he?
Roy the sailor.
Docker.
Docker
White.
Docker White.
I love that.
Yeah.
This has become a really accusatory tone there. When you're Docker. Fucking can't. What's yours, Chris?
I don't know the surnames. I only know two.
Well, just choose one.
William.
Or go double barreled if you like.
Yeah. It's not a quiz, mate.
There's no wrong answers.
There are.
Only
William
stupid
teacher Fawkes.
See?
Jason.
William Fawkes.
See, I think mine's going to take a bit of explanation.
Great. Sit back, ladies.
We've got some time to fill, go on.
The name is Tron the Mechanic Murphy.
Tron the Mechanic Murphy.
Tron?
I don't want you to explain that.
Tron? Your middle name is
Tron? Your middle name is fucking Tron?
Fuck off. I thought that was Tron.
What, from the movie?
Yeah.
Did you come here on some kind of neon bike tonight?
Right,
no, don't mock him. That's the best middle name ever.
Yeah, imagine the neon bike with them glasses on.
Is your middle name honestly Tron?
Is that what LSD's like?
I changed it.
Fucking yes.
Why you change your name by default to Tron?
Yes.
You need to change it back.
I woke up one morning after a very heavy night with the Depot website on my laptop.
I changed it to
Jimmy Havoc. And I just never pressed. I don't know if I couldn't fill the credit card details in well enough because I was so pissed. But it never quite went through.
It's so easy to change your name. Like,
it was.
Because I know it is your Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Jack, have you got ID with that on?
See, this is where it gets complicated because you try and open a bank account with the name Tron and it is so difficult. They just look at you and go, no, get out. Clearly you're not called that. So my real name is Jason Tron Roy Reed because Roy was my given name.
Brilliant.
I changed it to Tron because, I was 20.
Because why not?
Yeah, and that's what you do.
I love it.
Fucking shit, man.
And then it's just stayed and I now am officially called Jason Tron.
That's so cool.
Roy Reed.
That is amazing.
That's a good name.
I love it.
I just wish you had a better gimmick.
The mechanic.
Tron the mechanic.
I could have been hairdresser.
Tron.
Which, I mean, like, British
Farmer. Programmer.
Yeah, computer programmer.
You'd be like a hacker or something.
Yeah, employee at Quasar.
Yeah.
I thought like Tron the Barber.
I kind of like janitor as well.
Tron the janitor.
Great position.
What would yours be, bearing in mind?
Jimmy Havoc, because that's my name. I'm a wrestler. I'm an actual wrestler.
Jim's answer.
There's two answers. One, the...
Give me one.
There's many answers.
Professional me.
I didn't like it, but I changed the name of Jurassic World by Deadpool to Tron Legacy, and I really enjoyed Jurassic World.
Yeah, next week, I'm Last Jedi. Basically, I just totally wanted to be honest. But I liked it, but it helps if you've got a company.
The name.
All right.
Yeah, it's one of those things that... I'm stumbling now, but
I like it
because you asked Jim about alcohol and then you kind of triggered a question at me about alcohol and how it's being found, and the reason I can't drink is because I've got an illness called ME, which means that I can't take any drug whatsoever. It's just completely knocks you out. But the reason I'm in drug policy is because I use cannabis as a pain relief. Watch Tron on cannabis. It's pretty good. kid. Yeah, which is right. Kind of the
I've heard it's good on LSD as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can imagine. So, and also, I've got like a star projector, which is a really good
thing. Oh, but, shit.
And it works really well on that, yeah, as well. And I'm going to totally try it with these.
Glasses, insane. Yeah. That's fascinating, though, that again, the relationship of alcohol not being one that's necessarily a negative one personally, but physically it's an accelerated one. It's like you can't have a casual drink.
No. And also,
you have a drink and you're fucked. You're changing your name to Tron.
just fumes can be enough to like create migraines and all that sort of
damn
thing.
Are you okay at the moment?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we should have discussed this before we started recording a 4-hour drunk podcast. Yeah. But
easy on the booze, guys. Tron might get an headache.
Jimmy, why did you hate Tron? What was your Tron legacy?
No, I didn't. I just thought it was funny because his name was. No, he's right.
The fucking soundtrack. Oh, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good. Repeatedly.
Yeah, I've got it on my
that
phone.
Daft Punk soundtrack has longevity.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
It's really good.
I don't like Daft Punk, to be honest. It's just it's not my thing.
I like their first record. Their second one that was all anime and manga, I didn't fucking feel it. And their more recent stuff, I ain't that cool on. But that Tron Legacy thing, I really docked my hat to them for that. It was really good.
My main love and engagement of Daft Punk is Limmy on Twitter, who tweets
every
few months. Daft Punk, get lucky. Check it out. Sound of the Summer. He does it constantly. It slays me every time. Susie, can you furnish these guys with Fruit Ninja?
Yeah.
While I ask these guys about...
You've done it, haven't you? Can I just ask Jason another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So have you ever drunk?
I had it when... Because like we said about the first drink you have is like with your parents. So I've been like really liberal parents. So like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, they thought I was sensible, so just give me a
smack.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? It's a bit dark. I'm from Kent, so it's like, you know... Gateway into drug.
Joking aside, your podcast and Susie's are kind of about readdressing those kind of views and statements, because smack and coke or whatever else is, there's perceptions of them and there's the reality of them, and it's not to say, as we've discussed before, who's Dr. Carl Hart, mm-hmm, is it, who's done a lot about heroin, and again the perceptions of heroin are massively warped and somewhat inaccurate because of Trainspotting and TV shows and stuff like that.
I remember you straightened me up on that from what you'd seen about the fact that getting over heroin isn't this whole baby crawling over a fucking ceiling.
It's the same physical reaction as the flu.
That's why. That's why. As soon as I knew that, I got bang on heroin.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of fucking. You know.
Next year, I'm going to cut down on the booze. Bang up
the heroin.
But yeah,
it's a lot cheaper.
Again, it's fascinating, all those things. And although we joke about that, it is a weird perception that we have of certain drugs. Like people will sit there drinking alcohol or coffee and saying, did you drink coffee?
Sorry, I mean, I'm drinking caffeine now.
Yeah, of course. Again, it's a weird one that we have all them.
But I went to LA a few years ago to do stand-up, and I was talking about being straight edge, and I had somewhat, because there's straight edge and then there's California straight edge people who get really angry, who are really, they're like, well, you're not a vegan.
And wear really long shorts.
Yeah. They're like, you're not a vegan and you've had sex for recreational reasons. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not a monk.
What?
I'm straight edge.
You're not me.
That's what straight edge means.
When straight edge become a big thing in the kind of early 80s, that was based on that.
And California
wasn't it?
But straight edge just means no drinking, no smoking, no drugs. That's all it means.
And no sex, Jim. Don't forget that.
And then people, like with every trend, people just go, no, I'm...
It's but I'm thing more straight edge than you.
That's the thing. Like, I'm much better at being straight edge than you. Yeah, loads of people are. It's fine. Yeah.
I'm better at straight edge than everyone because I ignore all of the rules.
You're free-form straight edge.
Straight edge, yeah.
Wobbly edge. But back to Jason, you had that openness with your family. And
I just knew that alcohol wasn't for me because it just turned me weird. It just, like, straight away a migraine. Straight away. I mean, I was diagnosed at 8, so you know fairly early on that you're not going to be normal in life.
Mm. And did you do a cannabis documentary?
Yeah.
Do you know Dale Beaumont Brown?
Yeah, he's working on Progress.
Yeah, he's on our Progress.
I told you. Yeah, it's kind of... I mean, I don't take any credit for it, but I introduced Dale to Jim.
Why
don't I just ask you then?
I don't know, I couldn't hear what you were actually asking me, so I just shut my head. Like I do with most things you ask me.
So I just knew that alcohol weren't going to work. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I was saying to Susie and John on the taxi ride here, I mean, alcohol isn't so bad because I've been a performer, so I've been in front of crowds that are pissed. and you, Jim. But it's, believe it or not, the worst thing for me is this scenario of, like, people talking. Because, like, my cognition is to try and keep on top of what people say. Yeah, and that's why I'm really quiet, because I have to sit back and, like...
absorb it.
Yeah, it's like physical dyslexia. You have to really focus.
But then, people are saying so much bollocks. You're trying to process
it. I mean,
it just comes out.
I mean, we've sat you next to Chris.
You don't need to explain that, Chris.
I don't filter it, really. You don't
filter it. I feel rattled.
But sometimes it's easier to speak like with someone like Chris, because you would just keep giving, which means, like, I can then sit back and, like,
take
say I'm so bad. And I'll sit.
That's it, I'm out. I'm done.
I keep giving. No, Jason, carry on.
While we're on this, and let's talk about the top five stop and search, because they're fascinating. They are an education. They are only once a month, but they're live. You have amazing variation of guests. The number one I most listened to one was Think of the Children.
Was it?
Which was looking at, again, the kind of... I always really loved when I had... Woods... What's
Neil Woods.
I'm a bit drunk. So that's a Neil Woods. No offence to Neil. But he talked about the fact that if you think drugs are bad for kids, then you should be pro the legalisation of drugs, because kids can get drugs in a park off your drug dealer a lot easier than booze in the offie, because a drug dealer isn't going to say, have you got any ID? You know, it's kind of dumb. And that blew my mind, because, like, fuck. So me, I'm quite pro drugs, even though I don't do any other than alcohol at the moment. It's still, I'm quite pro it, as we've discussed, but... how was that one, the Think of the Children one again, the discussing of all of that?
I mean, I don't know the top ones that are done, and that's quite surprising.
I've noted them all. I've kind of done my work. I've done a little bit of prep. How rare.
It goes back to what you're saying as well, like, you put in so much preparation for certain episodes, or you get a big guest for some, and then all of a sudden...
Because you've had Rufus Hound and Marcus Brigstock and Robin Ince and some huge people on, so...
And yet, and that one, I mean, again, the people on it were celebrities as well, but not necessarily in the leagues of what people will know, like Rufus and that.
Yeah.
But I think that really does surprise me. That was one of the big ones. And I think we just discuss again just how children's education, like, you know, Jim, you've got a child, and in at some point you're going to have those drug education conversations.
It's not for you, Jason.
Chris is that's just holding up a sign to say, right, I'm coming. So that's handy.
Carry on, Jason.
Now people are shooting people.
We have got safety specs on now, though.
You've got safety specs on. So another one.
I feel bad now, you missed twice.
Well, I should be measuring how many people are aiming.
I've got that one.
This is descending.
Can we get back to the top five, please?
It was his fault.
Think of the Children. Sorry. Colorado was number two. LGBT was number three, which I really enjoyed. What can we learn? And that was a great one of looking at what we can learn from other uprisings and movements. And the LGBT movement is an amazing one, because they teamed up with the miners to learn from their protests.
The film Pride that inspired that part.
Yeah, and I thought that was great, because it was looking at what we can do as any faction to get change at what other people have done. And what the LGBT movement did was go, right, miners are as far from LGBT as you can imagine in a lot of ways, but they've been marginalised and pushed aside, and that's stuff that we can all come together and learn from that.
It was the film Pride that inspired that, because it's just that such an amazing great film. And we had Peter Tatchell, that was just fantastic, because he straight away said about how use humour as a device for activism, and it completely works. It's why, like, I'm always after comedians and things like that on the podcast, because you can have all the policy experts in the world, you can have politicians, and you can have scientists, no offence, Susie, but it's the comedians that get the point across.
Because they can speak, they can have levity and speak about things that other people can't.
Yeah.
And yet, at the same time, it can be really true. And they say many of the funny things.
As someone outside of, like, any political spectrum, like, I've been more engaged in politics in the last couple of years because of, like, the increase in satire shows. Like Jim Jefferies in America, John Oliver, that sort of thing.
Amazing.
That's made me more engaged in politics, because they speak in language that not only I understand, but, like, is entertaining to me. That's made me want to get more involved in, like, it's not preaching. It's like he wants to be more involved in it, because
I find YouTube is a fascinating platform for this.
Yeah.
But you have to be so careful with it, because you can get stuck, and I have been drawn into a variety of echo chambers.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But so I try and have like a, it's almost like food, right? What do you have on your plate in terms of greens? Do you have a balanced diet? So I try to eat in YouTube off of different platforms, whether or not it's whether or not we're talking about centrist views, left, far left, right. I stay away from the super far right, but at the same time I don't avoid it.
I like a mix of you. The only thing I can't.
That's why I
get my fucking head round is flat earth.
Yes. Yeah,
and so I can't get my head round.
And do you know what?
Until
this week.
His rocket yet?
Until this week.
He's cancelled it. He's cancelled his
right,
launch.
Right, here's the thing. Until this week, I was so fucking anti-flat earth, it's unbelievable. Until I heard that Donald Trump is reinvigorating the space program. And now I'm ahead of him thinking, right, he must not believe that exists now. Mm-hmm. So he must believe in the flat earth. So he is against. And now I'm worrying that I'm wrong. No, because I don't want to believe in the same thing that Donald Trump does.
Yeah. Even a stop clock is right. I nearly said cock, which would have been more appropriate. Yeah.
There's a website called Rational Wiki, which has got a brilliant entry on Alex Jones in particular, and a lot of his little acolyte of nutters, and it's brilliant reading through that because they use the whole broken clock principle to just, because that's what someone like Alex Jones does. He'll go, I told you this 10 years ago. Yeah, but it was a fairly obvious thing.
Yep. You know, and you told us a million.
Yeah, a lot of things that are.
Yeah, and also, people believe Derek Acora. And I've got a mate who sat next to Derek Acora on a plane once. Derek Acora got hammered and just went, yeah, it's all bollocks. It's all bollocks.
A mate of mine had one of Derek Acora's books. This was at uni. I was highly influential. I was reading things like The Celestine Prophecy. If anyone knows about that, then obviously you're a hippie. And his first statement in his book, I read his foreword and I was just like, mate, you're off your bollocks. And I closed the book, I passed it on.
It's really interesting. Because again, I listen to tons of podcasts. I love podcasts. And you and me, Chris, I think are the, and I try not to be, but we're the equivalents of Eddie Bravo and Brian Callen, in that Eddie Bravo is everything he gets, or a lot of, again, it's in the extremes.
Is he related to Johnny Bravo?
He's not.
No, Dino Bravo.
Dino Bravo. Bravo 2-0. Like Brian Callen, I struggle to take anything on YouTube seriously.
Yeah.
And it's not as simple as that. There's going to be some good showing, but I instantly just write stuff off because it's a fucking YouTube documentary. Fuck that. Whereas, again, as you mentioned on stuff on the right, there's going to be some stuff in there that's good and correct. Just because it's coming out of the mouth of a fucking idiot doesn't mean it's not right.
And I struggle with comedy. And if you suddenly like, so my political linings would lean left, right? But so then therefore, right? If I try and listen to politics from someone who is joking right, and they hit a right joke, the first times I sort of listened to that, I was like, oh, that's disgusting. Yeah. Oh, I say the most foul things all the time.
Yeah,
so it takes a while to start listening to that before to actually understand there's points there that actually make a fuckload of sense. And what I get frustrated all the time at the moment is when people shut down conversation because they don't agree.
Yeah.
And you might not agree 99% of the time, and you may or may not be wrong. But you will be wrong. And the one other thing I'd say is induction. They use it in science all the time. You're right until you're proven wrong, right? They've done that with the flat earth way before these nut jobs recently. They did that with the atom. The atom was the smallest thing in the world until they proved that it wasn't.
Yeah.
So whatever our political alignings are now, whether or not they're liberal, centrist, right, alt-right, whatever you want to, what's conservative, what you want to say, 100 years' time, 200 years' time, they're going to look on us and go, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
No matter what part of the spectrum you were on, you had it so fucking wrong.
I like to
hope you were stupid.
In relation to Nazis, I don't think they're going to say we're wrong.
No, you're right. I concur. I totally concur. But Antifa, which are far left now, who think they're completely right, are actually fascists.
I think that's an interesting thing. If you're against Nazis, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But that's retrospective, because that happened 50 years ago.
If I die knowing that I'm right, I'm happy with that. If I'm dead,
against cool. Nazis, I'm down with that.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I think we've sealed the books on that. I'm talking about today.
I have big conflicts on the fact that I really enjoyed that video of that Nazi getting punched in the face. And I'm not necessarily saying that's the solution, but it's fucking good. Good laugh. It's a good fun.
If you don't enjoy that video, you're a bigot. So I don't want to be. It's fine.
I just want to bring you something that Chris said over to Susie. It's one of the things that annoys me now. Again, on that we all have to agree, and if we're not, we're enemies. I was reading the thing recently, and it was saying that when science came about, it was known as the dawn of ignorance, and it was the dawn of accepting that we don't know what's right, because previously anything we didn't understand, we said God. God did that, and science was going, shit, we don't understand stuff, fuck, let's try and figure it out. Whereas there is a lot now where they'll put science as, oh well, it's science, it's right, and we know it's right, and that's not what science is meant to be. It's meant to be, here's what we do know, it could be wrong, here's what we definitely don't know, and the ignorance is meant to be a key part of science in going, let's look at what we don't know and try and understand it better, rather than, well, we've done this test and it proves this. The point of tests is to...
It's kind of even more than that, because science can't ever prove stuff. Like, I mark undergrad essays and they write, and these people proved this. It's like, no, proof is for maths. Science isn't about proof.
Yes,
and it's exactly. kind of the opposite of what you're describing as well. It's not about trying to find something out. It's kind of, you come up with this idea and then you try and... Yeah, exactly. You try and test it. Like, throw everything at it to see why you're wrong and how you're wrong. And if you throw everything at it and you've still got, like, it still suggests what you originally thought, then great, and you pass it on to someone else who can look at it from a different angle and that kind of thing.
I love it. Because
then the fucking idiots in the world now use that whole thing as, like, well, you're not proving anything is right, so therefore it doesn't exist.
So exactly.
Science, and so we're right, because we're ignorant, we're fucking idiots, and you can't prove it, so fuck you all.
I think there's so much of confirmation bias. I think there's so much now in the realm of confirmation bias, of going, rather than here's what I think, let's prove it wrong, here's what I think, let's prove it right.
Which is not the way it works. 100% agree with you.
This annoys me the most is when you get in a heated debate.
Yeah.
One of my favourite things to ask someone who disagrees with me is argue it from my perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if someone can go, okay, and then they sit there and they think about it, and they can go away and think about it and come back to me and say all the reasons why I'm right.
Yeah.
I can trust them because I try to do that from my position. I worked at the Ombudsman for years, and that was my only way of training neutrality.
He's my stunt drink. I'm your stunt talk.
Commemorative.
Oh, neutrality. I know that fucking word.
But that's how you breed neutrality. Is you have to understand.
You were really close that time.
Yeah. And when someone can't do that. What that is the ego. The ego is saying they don't want to pull... your ego doesn't want to pull you into a position that is unfamiliar.
Yeah, completely.
And then you know someone's not that reliable in an argument.
Yeah.
But by the way, that is 95% of human beings. I'm not busting anyone's balls about that. I'm just saying...
And let's get completely intimate and personal.
Or ovaries.
Because... we had a thing recently, and it broke my... Because I think I, at times, feel that... With my friends, I might have a stance of bias, or that my opinion is this, or my opinion is that. And you recommended the Red Pill documentary to me, and I wasn't into it. And genuinely, it broke my heart, because I was like, I want to get certain points of it. And because, again, we're mates, despite the fact I might sometimes come across as, here's my opinion, it's right, or whatever. It's not, it's wanting to understand it, but it was one that... we didn't agree on one viewing. Again, it's not... We've not gone back and had multiple views.
But that was about a year ago. But I told you to watch it.
Yeah.
But that was a little bit out of spite, because you'd said something that fucking wound me up.
Yeah.
You can't pay attention to anything. I pay attention to loads of shit.
Yeah.
I spend loads of time on things.
Oh, completely. I mean,
and then you watch it, and then jump. But we had watched it so far between, I couldn't counter your arguments.
This is now me and Chris having a therapy. On the drunk cast as well, I worded something wrong on one of them. On the last one that you walked out on, in fact, that I said that Chris leans more towards some of the right wing, or is more open at times to some right wing arguments. The left one, which
start.
Again, we were getting into some weird shit then. It was very messy, but
you weren't. Patrick was.
No, but I worded that wrong. And my awareness is that I've been exposed to more, it's going to sound harsh, but right wing idiots and less left wing idiots. And Chris has been exposed to some left wing idiots. And it's not that he's more biased to right wing idiots. It's just he's had more people who haven't got it backed up that are saying, here's the facts and you're wrong regardless. And when he's argued it, they've gone, no, feminism or no, Corbyn or no, whatever, and not actually had the backing up of the argument.
Yeah, that's
and
a again, great example.
That's why in that I worded it wrong because we're all drunk, but it felt then like I'm saying, well, Chris is right wing and I'm left wing, but it's not that. It's just because of my music and because we've had stuff that I had a song that was taken on by the EDL and they started to use it in a lot of their videos and we had it taken down and I put posts up. It was Stake a Claim. And it was a real tough one because that song is about
smashing in
be a massive right wing.
But no. It's about standing up for what you believe in, regardless of if it's socially acceptable, which fits the EDL.
Yeah.
And it was a real conflict because I was like, "You're using that correctly, but I don't agree with it. So fuck you." So we had all their videos taken down because I'm a stubborn little piece of shit. But it meant that we had a lot of EDL hate, and I'd put posts up saying like, "Look, my gig listings are public. Let's talk about it. Come down, you fucking pricks." Kind of, and like, I'm a Millwall fan. I go Millwall.
That language and is the problem.
That probably caused some issues. But because of that, I've been exposed to more right-wing idiots who don't know what they're talking about and left-wing intelligent people who do know what they're talking about. So my bias is often towards that. Whereas there's, on the Red Pill, although I didn't agree with a lot of it, I thought a lot of the left-wing people in it were fucking idiots. And they were appalling representations of left-wing people.
Which is easy, propaganda-wise, to set up in terms of a documentary. Yeah, but my experience had been that, say, for example, feminism, which is what the Red Pill was about, is that for years, I've hated women.
And that's the end of episode 4.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, guys.
No, seriously, like, I've been lucky enough to have loads of mates who, female mates who...
are disgusting.
Have taught me a lot about women, been massive feminists, understood a lot of that studies, and have got degrees in it, and now follow that, right? Who are in amazing charities I was speaking about in on our live show, who do Katie Piper Foundation and stuff like that for burns victims, And before that, women of torture and stuff like that. So I'm massively ingrained in the feminism movement. And at some point over the last few years, I started detaching myself from aspects of feminism. Mm-hmm. And the hardest thing for me to say was, I'm not sure if I can be commonly denoted as a feminist anymore.
Mm. But is that just because you didn't agree with it, because you didn't understand it?
No, I understood it, but I understood different facets of it. And that caused massive arguments with some of my girl mates as soon as I said, I am not what is culturally acceptable these days. To say feminist is very... To say I'm a feminist is a very easy thing to... You're not causing any trouble when you go, I'm a feminist, I believe in the advocacy of women rights on the ground.
Equality, that's all it is.
Yeah.
But that's exactly it. It's the fact that, like all these terms... And when I had Jordan Gray on the podcast, I was asking all these questions about trans culture, and she beautifully kind of stopped me at one point and said, you know, I can only answer for me.
Yeah.
And the fact is, within feminism, there's going to be some people who have more extreme views. There's people within feminism who don't agree with women showing off their bodies.
Yeah.
Which you and me, Jimmy, will disagree with because we're both
100%,
completely. That's a liberating thing, and it's a choice. It's an individual choice. So,
but also, there's different factions within feminism,
and that's exactly
it. So it shows that there's a conversation going.
And that's the thing. It's okay to disagree with one or with a person. I was going to say a feminist, but with a person. One person can have one view of feminism that isn't the same as another person's view of feminism. That doesn't mean, I'm against feminism. Because I did that on the Laurie Penny podcast.
There'll be someone who says that we're against feminism because we...
On the Laurie Penny podcast, I said, I'm uncomfortable saying I'm a feminist. I say I support feminism. And someone just like hit me up a message and just go, no, you're a feminist, man. You believe in equality. Simple as that. That's kind of enough. That's kind of cool. You don't think that women should be in the kitchen or whatever else. It's like, it's fine. You don't have to have this Oh, we don't have to have all this minutiae of kind of, well, technically this and technically that.
I wish I was in the kitchen with Rebecca, but she's a much better cook than I am.
Yeah, damn right. And you always smash really hands good. Over people's heads. Yeah. Drawing pins out and all this.
The frying pans and running in the kitchen. It's shit.
Understandable.
It's pointless.
It's like when people are saying to me, I'm not straight edge enough.
Yeah.
If you identify yourself as a feminist, there will always be
a different faction.
There'll be someone to say, you're not feminist enough.
I think, Jim, to be honest with you, it's because a girl who has taught me so much about women and learning how to talk and deal when my heart was getting kicked around on the floor by a girl I was madly in love with. And
horrible image.
and she understood a lot of the things and taught me a lot of things about girls and stuff, but she also is a militant feminist. Mm. And that to me scared the shit out of me, in the sense that you could have so many reasonable conversations, and at the same time, when we started going into these sort of areas, they were so far into different sections of feminism. It scared the fuck out of me. And at that part, I started education. Going, oh, I don't really... Yeah, of course it is. Like,
and there is loads of that. Again, it is what I love about Stop and Search and Say Why to Drugs, that there's an option there to get educated on these specific subjects in detail, if you choose to. And you don't have to choose. But as Jimmy was saying, how you feel more political than ever because of certain shows, that's still a limited amount of... education. Like I feel distance from political stuff, partly because that's kind of they're the main places I get, and let's listen to this lecture.
Well, I have done, but because of these shows, I have made myself more inclined to want to educate myself on politics.
And John Oliver is one that's a great example, because I think John Oliver is so the facts take precedent over. Laughs,
yeah,
which is what's great about it. I love the Russell Howard.
When you watch him presented in terms of the right, they've cunt him off. And I started with
brilliant. I love them cunting him.
When I started with YouTube, was Russell Brand and the Truths,
yeah.
And that awakened my it reignited my want understand.
As a plug for another podcast, he's great on Rogan recently. Because what I love about Rogan, me and Stu have listened to tons of Rogan, is. Rogan isn't intimidated by Russell's and Russell was the first guest on this podcast. He's hopefully coming on again, but it's beautiful because Russell will go off on one of his tangents. He's amazing at his rants, and Joe will sit there and listen and then go, I don't agree with that,
but not all the way, and all this,
which is beautiful, which is what I really like.
It's great, but I've seen Joe with Stephen Crowder, who's a conservative, lose his shit, and it was embarrassing. Mm. And Joe had to issue an apology.
That's
because Stephen went. If Joe had asked him, what if you had to drop a policy about what you discuss as roughly a conservative, which Stephen Crowder is. Stephen went, probably weed. Like, I don't really give that much of a shit about it. I just personally think that maybe it's not as great as everyone said. But to be honest with you, I think that's my weakest argument, because there's such a mixed review.
Yeah.
Joe loses his fucking mind over it. 50 minutes of Joe berating him.
Bullying him. But that's what I love about podcasts, is Joe... I played that... I rarely tweet that much about... podcast or whatever else, I just tweet nonsense. But I tweet about that podcast because I think it's a great example of podcast. Because Joe, in the next episode, it was the episode with Brian Redband. So it was just after the Crowder one, a few weeks after. And he just was like, no, I fucked up.
I drank a bit. Yeah.
And I went off on a rant. And it's beautiful because it's a 30-minute discussion of why he handled it wrong and how he handled it wrong and how it played on his mind. Like when he was out with his kids at Disneyland the next day, and he couldn't sleep and think about this. And it's like, that's better than the society we live in now, where James Corden is doing a tweet saying, sorry about that rape joke, bye. That doesn't really sum anything up. That gives everyone ammunition to say James Corden's a piece of shit. It gives everyone ammunition to say he apologised. It's not enough. It's this kind of thing. And it's what I love about podcasts.
Totally.
Then had that to go, look, I was a bit stoned and a bit drunk, and I went off on one. Yeah. And that's not right.
And Russell is amazing at that. Russell Brand has humility, which I love in intelligent people, when they can go,
The fact that he can go,
I was saying this, but do you know what? I got overly carried away.
Completely agree.
And politicians, I think, hopefully, podcasts will help teach politicians how to. Are you giving me shit
at this point? No. At this point, Stu has popped snowman sunglasses on because he's got bored of everything that's going on. But
no, I've just tried the Christmas ones. I haven't tried the snowman ones.
So, babies with big dicks. Discuss.
Shall we just go off subject a minute? Because we're almost at the hour mark. Yeah. I'm going to go on my list of notes of other hilarious, great, fun things to talk about.
Can we do some top? Can we do some favourite Christmas? Movies and songs. I'd like to
that. Shut your fucking mouth.
Motherfucker.
Oh, I was right on the lip. It shot me with a nerf right on the lip. Didn't even stop my sentence. I do that naturally with my stutter.
Yeah, exactly.
Not with a nerf.
I'm glad you made that joke before I did.
A little question. You know them adverts are all arty and that, and then they say a full film available at, and then it's the website.
Yeah.
It's often for beers and stuff like that. Has anyone ever gone on them? And looked at the full film.
No.
Because I reckon it must be the least visited website ever.
Mate, you've gone into full Michael McIntyre.
Damn right. How about planes? What are planes about? Why is food on planes so rubbish?
That's Michael McIntyre and Peter Kay material is, does everyone remember this?
Yeah. Do you remember?
What's the deal with
There's a really good thing on the Sean Locke current stand-up, which isn't one of his best. That's harsh.
I love Sean Locke.
I love him. I think he's great. But I think he's someone that's found his place on panel shows. Yeah. I think he's hilarious in the moment. I think there's nothing...
Have you seen
Was that BBC, by the way, Jim?
It was BBC.
Yeah, we missed that. We also missed Monty Python, I think.
Well, the one I was most upset about was Fleabag.
I'm going to pause and give some backstory that Susie was on Hardcore Listen giving her top five BBC comedies. Continue.
I can't believe I forgot Fleabag because I loved it so much.
Oh, 15 Stories High was a great example because Errol in that is just gold and Sean Locke is gold. But on Sean Locke's a recent stand-up, he does a whole bit of, do you remember this? And it's all stuff that he's made up. So no one's really like, are you serious? Do you not remember when we used to play... A walnut whip. Do you not remember when we used to play that? And it's fucking great. But it is. I've seen them adverts. It's the same with adverts for on. Right. This is just stuff that annoys me, and I've made a note of it.
It's just a list of grievances.
So you know, it's a list of grievances. What grinds my gears?
Wrong.
You know, so for example, Star Wars has just come out. Star Wars is currently available.
Nash that one in.
The cinema.
They're in
Enterprise.
Space and shit.
There's wars.
Having fights.
Near stars. The stars aren't at war. That's why I got confused. When are these stars going to kick off?
Well, they are. If you watch the media lately, the stars are very much...
Kim Kardashian is really, really got a beef with Beyonce.
Are they? All right, Alex Jones.
For example,
the new Star Wars is available to pre-order on Sky.
Where's it come out?
Who the fuck is pre-ordering a downloadable?
I'm going to cinema to watch that.
That's the bit that blows my mind. It's like I'm into it enough to pre-order it.
People who can't walk out their house, mate.
But I'm not into it.
I'm not going to go to the cinema. I'm leaving my house.
I'll pre-order it now.
I'm not trying to fucking dress.
That advert exists for a reason. That advert is to remind you that Sky is more important than the cinema. That's why they do it.
No, it's fucking not.
That makes sense. In Rupert Murdoch's head,
Don't say those words to make other people think it, so shut up, right?
Okay. No, but you need to understand the enemy, Jimmy.
I understand the enemy, so he doesn't need to convey into that fucking...
That does make sense.
Easy.
Shut up.
No, but I agree.
I've got a film degree, mate. That's all I've got in this world.
Where did you get your film degree?
My mum's. Kingston University.
And what did you... Because I did a year of
Wow.
You're no selling that, but you know that was gold.
It was gold.
That's a base level shit joke from Kingston.
All I've got.
Let me interview Jimmy specifically about his film degree, please.
It's not.
What did you do on your film degree? Because I did a year of photography at Wolverhampton, and I did a sub thing. A sub thing of a film, and I did a breakdown on Run Lola Run and on Buffalo 66.
Yeah, and what else did you do? Because you made me take pictures of you naked.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's for his personal collection.
No, that was one of my. I got a top mark for that. I had
but one. Actually, part of your. Oh,
yeah. I did it.
Have you got those photos?
I was always. Genuinely. I was always better at the fucking ideas than the actual project. So my project was entity versus identity.
Mm-hmm.
An entity. Chris just took pictures of me naked.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then identity.
For the third time.
I took a load of pictures of me in different. Stuff like the Michael Caine with the glasses and the cigarette and just loads of other stuff to being all crazy. And it was one was a montage of identity, the things that make you up, an entity, the strip thing. And what I did was I covered up my dick.
Good.
But what I did, I put basically the palm of my hand.
You put your little finger.
That's it. No. I put the palm of my hand over the end of my dick, then stretched my hand out and just covered like that. So it looked like it was a lot longer. That was my technique. It was like, right, go to the
knows, and then he knows what to do there. That's close.
My technique on penis coverage. But no, I really enjoyed that.
God bless you. God bless you.
I really enjoyed the film's study stuff because all mine was just theory and
I did 3 years, but like it was a lot of like different... Italian, French, German cinema sort of thing. But
What stuff? Give me a few. Excite me with films. Hit me.
You want to talk about Italian cinema? Or
Or I like a bit of Italian, a little bit of German. Or Fellini's the fucking obvious film student.
Marwan Fellini.
old German, like Nosferatu, the sort of horror stuff. We went through that. The French stuff. Obviously Italian, fucking... Let me put him in the spot now. Fellini.
Fucking, look at me again. Fucking... Prove your degree, you prick!
Lasagna was pretty good. Really, really schlunky horror films.
I love it.
We did, 60s Italian cinema, which was, the renaissance of, that sort of Euro cinema.
9.5 Italian. Was it 9 or 9?
Yeah, that was a lot later on than, 60s. We did.
Shut up.
Then, year two, we did, I did documentary, which obviously did a wrestling documentary, which the subject I did the documentary out, we won't talk about because,
Sure.
Tell me in a bit.
That sounds scandalous.
Then year three was the dissertation. My dissertation was how independent is American independent cinema?
Oh, really?
And it's not.
Lots of long dissertations.
Spoiler alert. How independent is it?
Not
20,000 words to go. Yeah, it's not really.
I always in I remember coming and staying at your parents' house, and your room just has a wall of DVDs, which are all your favourite films.
Amazing. Give us a shout out then. Yeah. Jim, on Jimmy's wall, what's your favourite DVDs that you saw?
There's a couple of thousand on my wall.
But honestly,
because my film student days. Buffalo 66 will be in there.
So here's the thing. Will be in there. When you ask favourite, do you mean what I think is a good film or what I think is...
No, it doesn't matter.
What do you enjoy?
Okay.
My films of the year this year and a lot of people got annoyed that Sing was in there and Blade Runner wasn't. I really enjoyed Sing. I thought Blade Runner was good.
What annoys me is when people think that they've got a reason to tell you what you think you should
have done. I did this last night. I watched The Prophet last night and I tweeted, fucking amazing. And I tweeted a list of probably 8 or 9 of my favourite subtitle films, which were... And I had loads of people going, pointing out Korean films that weren't in there. But getting really annoyed at me going, why is this not in there? Because
you're
a
cunt, and I'm not omnipotent. Thank you, Jim.
I totally typed a tweet with just a little star saying "unprofit," and then I didn't send it because I was like, "Don't be that dick. Don't be that dickhead." But yeah,
profit.
Three of my favorite films ever.
Yeah,
500 Days of Summer.
Right.
High Fidelity.
Yeah.
And Garden State. Because the time that I watched them was a very emotionally unstable period of my life.
Yeah.
Those three films really...
This is where the emo came
from. Because Garden State's an interesting one, because it feels like Zach Braff made that for film students. Do you know what I mean? I don't mean that as an insult at all. But that's so perfectly made for those who are into that kind of world.
I think he made that for a specific period of his life that meant something to him about that.
Yeah.
And that's why because I was in a very similar state at the time. High Fidelity was my favourite book.
You'd read it before?
Yeah. The same as Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I stopped reading High Fidelity. I was reading that when I was on tour in a band.
Yeah.
And I could tell that my band was finishing and I was shit at relationships. Yeah. And I literally got halfway through that book and I thought, I'm fucking reading
Can't read it.
I don't know how it's going to end.
I read High Fidelity literally once a year.
You're wicked at relationships, though.
Right. And that, I think, and the thing that, I love that film, and I think fucking, the whole cast are fucking amazing in it. But the fact that it was so English, the book, and it was Smith's, and it was so English and indie, and then there's big brash Jack Black just being gobby American. The first time I saw it, and I fucking like Jack Black, but I was like, oh man, you've took the Englishness from this film. You've right, took how I saw it. I saw it as Rough Trade, and I saw it as
I get
you know, that. And it just become this kind of.
But for me, like I was glad,
right? Yeah. It was fucking.
At the same
incredible.
Time, like I was, for me, it's like it was people who go like, "A band reads out a new album and go, oh, it's not as good as this album."
Yeah,
but well, that album is still fucking there.
Yeah,
it still exists. Listen to that.
It's not like we burned the new. I've said that as an artist. It's not like we said, "Oh, we're putting a new record out. Can you give me the first record, please? Because we need to burn it."
No.
We're going to burn it over it and you can never listen to that again. It's like, it's fine. Go and listen.
I totally get every, but like, for me, it was like, the book is always going to be there.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that this film was a new, almost a new take on it.
Yeah.
And that I could watch it in half an hour instead of taking me 2 weeks to
read the book. Yeah, absolutely. Sort of it's incredible.
Also, you can't convert what is in book into what is in, no, of course in movie. Well, and that's the biggest thing.
My girlfriend lives on Holloway Road right now. So like, when I first started... Going out with those like fuck Seven Sisters, it was almost like walking around the area, like was trying to live in that the book that you know I read sort of thing. But it's not the same. It's not the same period of time. It's not like 5 Days of Summer as well. Was like I love that film because it almost puts that boy girl rom com dynamic on its head, and it's saying like actually no the boy is like the. But when you look at it, it's actually the boy's a cunt in that. Mm-hmm. The girl said to him from the start, "Don't want a relationship." And I always thought, actually, that's me. That was me. Like for years, that was me. And like Garden State as well is like.
I need to pause a second. I really need a wee. So can you close this episode off, Stu? Continue the conversation.
Okay, cool.
I was going to have to stop the conversation because I need a wee. Badly.
But you did.
But I'll leave it to you.
Go
now. Continue. Go.
Go.
Why is Garden State great, guys?
Because I love it. That's the thing. Like when people ask me what my favourite film is, it's very different to what I think is one of the best films ever.
Yeah.
Like best film for me is like Shawshank. I fucking love. Pulp Fiction. I think is incredible.
It's insanely made.
It's the like Tarant. My dissertation at university was how independent is independent cinema. It was about Tarantino, Kevin Smith. Richard Linklater,
right?
All these sort of guys like Boyhood and fucking Clerks and Pulp Fiction and like I think they're some of the best films ever made because they were made outside of that studio system, yet they've still got that story and the visuals and the impact of like, and that's why I think that's my favourite period of cinema ever, is that sort of early 90s to sort of late 90s of like fucking Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction,
Reservoir Dogs, was
Chase, the first thing is all rats, all of those things. They're always going to be like I think the best films ever.
But it doesn't also mean that they are the best films ever. Like my favourite movie. So you're the King of the Goths, right? You've listed a bunch of movies there. My favourite, one of my favourites, top five, has got to be The Crow. Right?
Yeah, 100%. Crow, it's wicked.
Fucking blows me away every time I watch it. The soundtrack is amazing.
But
it doesn't have the melancholy. All the movies you put really pluck on a heartstring.
And it's a nostalgia.
The Crow does in an action way, but all those have a kind of more nuanced melancholy.
Five and Say Summer, Garden State, Five Totally, they're like my number one, like my. Four, like, two to five, like, they will change on a regular fucking basis.
Yeah,
but, like, because it depends on my emotional state of that day.
Exactly. I think you've that's come on our top fives, right? Because it's transitional. We always do that. It's like, it might be this now.
No single person in the world will ever tell you this is my fucking top five albums ever in the history or whatever. Right, I'm going for a piss now. I'm out. Yeah,
should we call this one? Like,
we're done.
Yeah, I'm going home.
We're calling this episode, and we'll be back in the fourth episode shortly.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pips, the Scratchdom Pieces.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.